Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich and Rich Hanley Ramirez was, looks like, falsely accused for some drug running.
You know, I don't even know if it was falsely accused. I'm looking back at the original report, and I don't know whether or not what came out on Friday, and I'm no defender of Michelle McPhee. I don't really know much about her, but I think what she reported, I think people jumped to conclusions that Hanley Ramirez was being indicted, or he was like under suspicion for all this stuff going on.
She reported the first half of it.
Yeah, the first
exactly
half.
Right. The first half of it was exactly right. She didn't get the part where after the FaceTime, the guy in question quickly recanted everything. There's, she didn't have that.
There's
part
a lot of hand wringing out there about like, well, you know, you guys are all wrong in the Globe. Blah, blah, blah. First of all, I didn't know about any of this stuff until Thursday, I think, of this last week. I hadn't heard any rumblings, but I guess this has been around like whispers for the past several weeks, almost ever since Hanley Ramirez was released from the Red Sox. And I heard about it was Thursday on Felger and Maz. I think it was James Stewart mentioned something that he heard there was some big story that was going to be coming down involving Hanley. And sure enough, Michelle McPhee, who once again, I have no idea who she works for now. I know she's worked for like Newsweek before in the past. And
ABC.
She's done, and the Herald, I know she's done some stuff. I don't know why she reported this or who she's tied in with. But I know that according to the report on Friday, that there was a recent stop by police, discovered a significant amount of drugs in a suspect's car. The suspect told the officers that one of the items found in his vehicle belonged to Hanley Ramirez. He then made a FaceTime phone call to Ramirez in front of the police. Okay, so that was the original thing that was put out there. And I think a lot of people jumped to conclusions thinking that, even though she, I don't think she wrote it, but people jumped to conclusions that Hanley Ramirez was under investigation for all of this illegal drug activity. But the Globe came out with a story yesterday that seems to flesh out the entire thing.
What, those and, frauds at the Globe?
Yeah, at the Globe. I'm taking down Cat Fancy. One of their writers is not honest. So they reported that this the whole story is very interesting. Because what actually did happen, if you're Hanley Ramirez, this might be an all-time, why the hell are you doing this? So according to the Globe, this guy was pulled over, told the trooper that he was traveling to Boston to see a friend who is a professional baseball player.
Wrestler.
Now, the document didn't identify the player by name, but according to multiple people, including the guy's attorney, he was referring to Hanley Ramirez, not Bam Bam Bigelow, who I don't know is alive anymore. The man consented to a search of his Jeep, but when the trooper asked to open a brown cardboard box found in the rear cargo area, the guy declined, saying that it belonged to Hanley Ramirez. Now, he also claimed that the box contained books and that Hanley Ramirez's mother had shipped the box to him in New York to hand deliver to his friend Hanley Ramirez in Boston. Now, in an attempt to back up a story, according to the Globe, the guy called Hanley Ramirez via FaceTime on his cell phone and then handed it to the trooper. Can you imagine if you're Hanley Ramirez and you get a phone call and it's like this guy going, "Hey, what's up, man? Listen, I want you to talk to this cop."
This seems like rock solid detective work, too.
I'll FaceTime with you.
Sure, here's a cop.
It's not yours?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go about your day, sir.
So the cop asked Ramirez if he was aware that his buddy was en route to visit him and was delivering a box from his mother. Hanley said, "No, I have no idea what this guy's talking about." The trooper asked if he could open the box, and Hanley's like, "Yeah, sure, I don't care. I don't know what's in the box." So the box apparently contained a gift bag that had 2 kilograms of fentanyl inside, according to this affidavit. Now, the man was arrested on drug trafficking charges and then immediately began stating that his friend, Hanley Ramirez, was not involved at all and that the box wasn't for him. Apparently, the attorney came up and said that this guy just used Hanley Ramirez's name in a bad thought-out attempt to try to, like, he was a name dropper. He was trying to, like, mm-hmm. These are people that I know. You know, I don't know if you really want to arrest me because I'm friends with Hanley Ramirez, which Hanley Ramirez, I'm sure, was very thankful for. They said that apparently, according to this guy's lawyer, he was hoping not to be arrested. He's trying to avoid them from searching the vehicle in the box, so he just dropped his name because it wasn't thought out very well. And Hanley Ramirez's lawyer came out and all these people, his agent, saying that how dare people run with a story that wasn't vetted and blah, 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 blah. And to that I say, that sucks for him, for Hanley Ramirez to get that thing. It's still really weird that a guy that has his phone number and Hanley's willing to answer the phone is a dude who's running drugs, you know, fentanyl, a large amount of fentanyl from New York to Massachusetts. That thing is strange. The whole thing that happened with him being released from the Red Sox. Still, even if none of this happened, I still thought it was very strange. And I believe that the Red Sox probably found out about this and were just like, ah, you know what? We're going to release him anyway at some point.
You happen to be in a horrendous slump. This kind of puts it over the top.
And this is just kind of like, want to release it before any more info comes out about it that we don't want to know about. Boom, you're gone. Yeah. And I think that's kind of one thing led to the next, the next, the next. And I actually don't blame the Red Sox in that situation for doing so. And I know a lot of people, once again, more hand-wringing. Oh, baseball reasons. Sure, that was probably part of it. But I think this might have just kind of sped up the entire process. But I can't imagine just getting FaceTime like that. All I know is that FaceTime's not good for anybody. When's the last time you used FaceTime,
John? The last time Zolak called me.
Okay, Zolak's the only human being I know that uses FaceTime regularly. And he called us one time using the bathroom. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
Hard to forget something like that.
He does like using the bathroom and calling you on FaceTime.
It's been a long time, but I still remember.
Percentage of times Scott Zolak FaceTimes you where he is not wearing a shirt.
100.
100.
I don't think he's ever FaceTiming. He wasn't wearing 100. A shirt.
Yeah, 100%.
I get pictures. I used to get pictures. FaceTime.
Which, by the way, I enjoy it when he does it. It's very funny.
Sure.
You know, Scott Zolak's doing that.
It's like somebody's kooky uncle.
But isn't there one time, Fred, where he FaceTimed you and...
And then he goes, let me talk to Milo. And then he started saying stuff that I'm like, oh, dude.
No, I thought Milo, because he had an iPad, answered it, because it goes to his iPad, before you answered it, and you hear a voice in the other room. Who's this strange voice talking to Milo?
Maybe that's what happened.
But yeah.
And saying that he hadn't heard things in my house is saying something.
I just want to know if anyone's ever gotten in a FaceTime call that was wildly inappropriate. Or somebody just like was in a strange place trying to FaceTime you, or you've been FaceTimed while that was going on. Because I think that Scott's always the only person I know who actually uses that.
All right, 617-779-0985. Here's a CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by South Shore Bank.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. It has not been a good week for the Ball family. Have you seen the footage of LeAngelo Ball's workout?
Okay,
yes.
That's almost like just mean that somebody put that out there. So LeAngelo Ball did this workout for a couple teams.
Lakers and Warriors.
And dude just like couldn't hit a shot. I mean, it was...
And he's supposed to, that's supposed to be his specialty, is his shooting.
He's a 3-and-D type of guy.
Oh, yes. Well, I think that in Lithuania, or is that where he was?
Yeah.
Okay, in Lithuania, I guess he was only shooting like 25% from three.
Yeah.
So if you're like, that's your gig, and you're supposed to be a big three, like a sniper, and you're shooting 25-3 against essentially 16-year-olds on some of these teams that you're playing in Lithuania?
How about this? Is he probably shot 30% from three unguarded?
Yeah.
In a tryout.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was bad. And whoever released it, I almost think it's kind of unfair, and it's always fun to rip on the Ball family.
It's not unfair.
But it's like, I mean, what?
Why is that unfair?
There's guys at the Y, I guarantee you, that unguarded can hit over 30% of their threes.
Why is it unfair?
I don't know. It's not unfair. It's just a dick move. I guess that's it.
All the publicity that his father's trying to get for that kid? Okay, here's your tryout.
Yeah.
Here's a tryout in front of NBA executives. There are cameras in. Go do your thing.
I guess it's because there's still part of me that has sympathy towards his kids. Because he's such an overbearing ass.
I mean, there's nothing his kids can do about it. It's because he's an overbearing ass that they're getting all this. Okay. He has exactly really, what he wants. They get all the coverage in the world. And if you suck, you suck.
Is there really something called the Z League?
Okay, so LeVar Ball started what was the name
junior
of the league?
JBA.
Oh, that's it, the JBA. Okay, so do you remember how about a month ago we talked about the prices for the tickets were insane? It was like... $75 tickets for like the average price for a ticket, but you could buy like $150 seats. Have you seen the crowd of the first junior? It was empty. Empty.
Not even 300.
It wasn't even 300 people. Okay, dude, it was empty.
Yeah, because who's going to go to that?
Family members. Family members of the kids who are playing, and that's about it. Like, why would you pay to see that?
Because they're 18 to 20-year-olds that have no chance of ever making the NBA.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, this is the way that it's being written.
Well,
18 to 20-year-olds, that's the rule. And these are kids that will not only play in the NBA, they won't play in the G League.
They do not have the talent to play any professional basketball.
It just gives kids that have gotten bad advice from somebody a place to go.
So LeVar Ball was asked about his son LiAngelo not being drafted. And as John was saying earlier on in the show, there was a small crowd of people who were cheering his name at the end of the draft, hopefully getting him
last 10 picks or so. That's all the crowd was chanting in the second round.
Who knows anyone who's getting taken?
So here's LeVar Ball being asked about his son LiAngelo getting undrafted.
Your son wasn't drafted. Are you concerned? And what's next for him?
No, what's next for him is to play in the summer league. Like I said, whether you drafted or not, you got to produce in the summer league.
Okay, well, that might be a problem. And here's why. Is that the Lakers, by the way, that was the team that like LeVar's like, well, he's going to play in the summer league with the Lakers. The Lakers are going to the summer league, blah, blah, blah. Well, the Lakers, according to Ramona Shelburne, who covers the team, said officially informed LiAngelo Ball he will not be on their summer league team. They were determined to make this a basketball decision, but as one source puts it, quote, obviously there's more to it than basketball.
But
in other words, the LeVar effect was real.
He sucks. Like, but here's, say it was the other one, whatever the hell the kid's name is.
The one who didn't get arrested in China for stealing.
Right. LaMelo. Is it LaMelo? LaMelo,
yes.
LaMelo's the youngest one.
Right.
This kid sucks. Like, LaVar Ball had nothing to do with it except make him not get an education for free.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't going to do anything at UCLA.
No.
He's not good.
The reason he went to UCLA
is so they
it was
got
part
Lonzo.
Of a package so they could recruit Lonzo for a year. And get the youngest one.
What's mean, Rich, is that they're putting this guy through the motions,
yeah,
thinking that he's not good enough to play overseas. He didn't do well in Lithuania.
It's the basketball equivalent of dinner for schmucks. It's like they brought him out there and they're parading him. It's like, this guy sucks. He's not any good.
Yeah, it's like if you hired, like Loverboy, like 10 years from now. And had him play at the Garden.
By the way, Bill Plaschke, who also covers the Lakers, just piled on. He said, for some perspective, it's very common to add a few extra players to a summer league roster.
Sure.
Just as it is to invite a ton of guys for draft workouts. But this case is different, according to Bill Plaschke, after LiAngelo's workouts. Everyone's saying that he's not good, A, and B, even if he was a little bit better than he is, we don't want to deal with his dad.
Yeah, there are at least 30 other players of similar talent or even a little bit better that we can call, and the tiebreaker is your father, so enjoy unemployment.
Yeah, so that's not going to happen.
You think there's only that many people?
I'm just maybe there's more.
I mean, he got gifted a scholarship.
Yeah, sure.
To my knowledge, he wasn't really even playing at UCLA.
No, not at the beginning of the season.
Right,
no.
Okay, so he's...
By the way, the games over in China were like the first two or three games of the year
at
UCLA.
But he wasn't going to start at UCLA, I believe.
I could be wrong, but
I do believe that's true. So you're taking a kid that would have had to play 4 years at UCLA and then taken his chances, and there's kids that have played 4 years at other schools that are vastly superior to what he is.
Yeah, on top of that,
like they started.
On top of that, the future of Lonzo Ball isn't quite clear because of all the movement that's being possibly rumored about this year with LeBron James and a couple other superstar players. And by the way, I do love the fact that Lakers fans seem to think that there's some sort of great value in Lonzo Ball. Is that him and plus a pick are going to be able to
get Kawhi Leonard
right over there. Boy, there are some really insane, not as insane as the people who think that like Terry Rozier is worth like, you know, worth the number one pick. Remember people were saying that they could possibly make a trade into the top four if you just gave him Terry Rozier in one of the picks.
Which
is a little insane.
I heard that at the end.
So
yes.
Let's get to this. They were asked, LeVar Ball was asked about Lonzo potentially being traded during this offseason.
There's a lot of talk today, possibly a lot of rumors that Lonzo may be traded. Were you concerned? Was he
concerned about none of that? If they trade him, trade him. You know, it's not a big deal to me. My boys all want to play in the NBA. And like I said, they all going to link up together at some time.
Changed his tune a little bit from the, you know, him and LeBron will be a super team.
Well, when you realize that you've already failed at two. Then it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Wow, he was 24.3% from three-point range in Lithuania.
Yeah. LiAngelo? Yes.
He was shooting about 30% unguarded
again,
in the footage.
Again, a reminder, most of the time he's playing against kids 16 or 17 mm-hmm. in Lithuania.
Well, apparently that is everything's working out just sunshine and roses for LeVar Ball.
I mean, how is it possible for that youngest kid to succeed? Honest to God, what is he, 17 now? He's 17. His father's completely messed him up with the lifestyle he's leading. I remember, I don't know if you read, I read The Ringer did it, or was it ESPN that did an article just on the youngest kid and on how lonely he is overseas?
I read that.
You read that too? How is it possible for this kid to succeed? He may be the best of the three, and when we first found out about the three Ball boys, he originally was thought to be the best offensive player of the three.
See, I thought Lonzo was supposed to be the best, far and away.
The deck is so stacked against this kid. He's only 17, and it looks like he has no chance. I feel awful for him. I really do.
Well, he has a father with a plan, and they're all going to play together at one point. Now, it's going to be in their backyard at a barbecue. But nonetheless, they're all going to be able to play together.
We're in that junior basketball league that they're charging
the JBA that no one's going to, yes.
Well, first caller of the hour is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com.
Are we having Ice Cube on or not? Because I know... Because I know that I saw, as I was driving by the TD Garden last night, there's a giant thing for the Big Three tournament.
It was coming this summer.
And I know Ice Cube was going to be on the show, potentially, to promote that. I got to think that he's got to be trying to do every interview he can do to get people to go.
Scal's friends with him. I mean, hell, even through Scal. Remember?
Is Scal playing now? Is he back in the Big Three?
No, he's back in it. And it's August 3rd that they're going to be here.
Okay. Yeah, it's right around the corner.
So I was reading something in Variety about Gotti.
Oh, this is the movie.
And the only places it did well were the cities that he went to and did local media.
Yep, and he did radio. I know somebody in Dallas who interviewed him, and I read the exact same thing.
Yep. So, you know, you can go on a podcast and, you know, hope that someone listens to it and hopes they grab you, or you can come on local radio and you can actually move tickets where you're staying. All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up. What are we going to talk about?
Well, there is some good news for people who are fans of Kyrie Irving. He, once again, more encouraging news that he might stick around. On top of that, we have a situation now where a movie is coming out this weekend, and the reviews are coming in, and it's one that Fred has been looking forward to hearing how bad it is for a while now. I'm going to see it tomorrow night, and it involves a certain member of the Boston Celtics. We'll get to the early reviews that are out on Uncle Drew.
They're going to be from, like, Highlights Magazine and stuff.
There's, I think, out of the several that have come out, there's two legitimate publications.
Okay, I'd be interested to hear how this goes. We'll be back after the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up. 95 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, I don't know what happened over the weekend, but Vegas took a major, major swing as to who they think LeBron James is going to sign with. As a matter of fact, it's pretty much a sure thing that they believe the Lakers are the team, because if you look at the odds from Bovada, they have the Lakers right now at -325, which means that you would have to bet $325 to get 100. And then after that, it goes Cavaliers at +325. So there's one team that is favored by a ton, and then a huge drop to the Cavaliers at +325. Then it goes Rockets, it's +750, 76ers at +1,000, and then the Celtics at +1,800. So Lakers seem to be it. Vegas right now says there's no other team except for the Los Angeles Lakers.
One other thing, ESPN and Ramona Shelburne, I believe, just came out with this. LeBron's not going to take recruiting pitches at all, basically. If and when he decides by Thursday to become a free agent, you know, he may speak with a team official here or there for some clarification on something, but LeBron, after 15 years in the league, basically knows what he wants to do. So if you're on the outside and you're looking to get an audience with the king to try and make up the ground, it's not going to happen.
The only thing that would make that move worth doing is that if LeBron got there and he was able to get Paul George and he was also able to get Kawhi Leonard. That's the only thing that makes it worth
it. I think he already knows. I think that he has already talked to Paul George. He's very, very aware of what's going to go on.
Okay.
And for reasons we discussed before, he's going to the Lakers. He's going to bring his own people in. He's got a head coach he can walk over. It's a perfect situation for him. You know, obviously, he's got to battle through two or three great teams to get to the finals. But, I mean, this is where LeBron wants to go. He's got houses there. I'm betting his wife's like, look, we got this place in Brentwood. We can live the easy life. Why you know, move us to a whole new place we don't know anything about?
If he doesn't get Kawhi Leonard, there's no chance he wins another title. I mean, if it's him and Paul George and somebody else.
He's going to be a mercenary. Paul George is going to go there like Kevin Love did. Paul George is going to go to L.A. and sign for 4 or 5 years, and LeBron will do the one and player option, and will feel free to leave after next season.
I thought the book on Paul George was he's going to stay now in Oklahoma City.
That's garbage. There's no way.
Not a chance.
If LeBron James goes to L.A., Paul George is going to L.A.
Especially
why would you
with
not
Carmelo
go?
Anthony just opting in. Oh, Paul George is going to go to L.A.
Carmelo Anthony, by the way, opted in. And
crushed their salary cap.
$27.9 million that he's owed. By the way, worst career year he had last year.
Yeah.
Career lows in points scored. On top of that, he was being taken off the court during the playoffs, during that 6-game loss to the Utah Jazz. So he opts in because he knows, I'm not going to get $27.9 million anywhere else, and immediately starts ripping on fans of Oklahoma City who are pissed at him. Like, just goes on Twitter and just like, oh, you mad, bro? I'm like, yeah, I like this team, and you're hamstringing us. We can't do anything because you're taking up all the cap space.
Paul George didn't get the ball with Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony last year.
All I'm telling you is that people started to say he was coming back.
Yeah, I think he's gone to L.A.
They did.
He said that for the last 18 months. He's gone to L.A. He's going to join LeBron there, and the two of them will see what they can do.
And I'm telling you, if they don't get Kawhi Leonard, because I'm trying to think of what else he could do. Maybe DeMarcus Cousins, bring him in there. DeMarcus Cousins, man, I know he can be great when he wants to be, but we know what DeMarcus Cousins is. He's also a guy coming off a major injury, so we don't know how he's going to play if he goes out there as well. That's one of those teams, DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George, and LeBron, that's good on paper.
It'll be a mess.
You see, LeBron, you can always count on to be ridiculously good, but I think all the parts around him, you can't beat Golden State with that.
And LeBron may know that, but he's going to go to L.A. for 1 year and then opt out after his team gets eliminated before it should have.
I mean, honestly, unless you put that team together that I just talked about with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and LeBron James, there's really nowhere else he could go where he can say, I can beat Golden State now, except for the Celtics. And he's not going to go to the Celtics.
Nope.
So that might be it for LeBron James.
Maybe. But we'll see what the NBA landscape looks like a year from now.
Yeah, I guess so. Speaking of LeBron James, J.R. Smith's jersey, he ended up selling it to, was this a charity thing? All I know is that they put it up for auction, and the jersey that J.R. Smith wore when he didn't know what the score was in game one of the Golden State series sold for $23,548. So hopefully it was to a Golden State fan who can hang that up there and just go, look at how dumb this guy was. Jurassic World 2 delivered a $150 million debut. Fred, the movie that you liked, Incredibles 2, you're a big fan. You said it was not long enough.
No, when you go to a kid's movie, you need it to be at least 2.5 hours.
Which I heard it's a little bit over that. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I like those Pixar movies. $350 million it's made so far, because it also had last week the biggest opening for an animated movie. One movie that will not be having anything close to the biggest opening of anything is going to be Uncle Drew, the movie that is going to star Kyrie Irving. It comes out this weekend. I'm looking forward to see it. What do we say the over-under was on how much money we think total it's going to make? I said 40.
Oh, so I say, well, the Travolta movie made just over a million.
Oh, boy. How about that?
I don't know if it was even as wide as release as... See, I think Uncle Drew's going to have an opening weekend that's going to sniff like $12 million. I think it's going to make like $12 million in opening weekend, and its total box office is going to get close to 40. Maybe I should hedge it. Maybe it's like around 35.
3 weeks in the theater?
Yeah, 3 weeks. 3 weeks sounds about
total,
right.
Total. Yeah,
three weekends in the theater. Because if you don't see it opening weekend, you're probably not going to get a bunch of great word of mouth. I don't think it's going to be as bad as everyone says
it is. I'll say a hair over 18, 19.
Okay, so some of the reviews are starting to roll on in. And I'll just kind of give you a taste of two legitimate ones. First one is from the Hollywood Reporter, and they give it a lukewarm thumbs up. They say it's an amusing, if not a slam dunk. And they say that the people who are involved in it, the actual comedians that they brought in, like Tiffany Haddish, and that what's the guy who
Nick
was
Kroll.
Nick Kroll and the guy who was in Get Out, they say that they're pretty funny despite everything else that's going on. And then you've got Variety, and I'll just read you the first paragraph of this. You know that feeling when you get to the Megaplex, buy your ticket, then hit the concession stand and order a bucket of popcorn and a large soda, only to discover that they only carry Pepsi products? Stuck playing catch-up with the on-screen marketing game ever since Coca-Cola bought Columbia Pictures in 82. Pepsi has been trying to get its hooks into the movie-going experience for decades, and now America's runner-up soft drink brand has found a strategy that goes beyond product placement. Underwriting a big-screen version of its Uncle Drew viral short film phenomenon, which Kyrie Irving dons a dirty grandpa-style old man makeup and punks a bunch of unsuspecting streetball players. They go through, and just like our guy from the New York Times told us, it's Pepsi products everywhere throughout the movie. It's a giant Pepsi commercial. They said, however, the only thing that supersedes the amount you see Pepsi is the amount that you see Nike on the screen. So it sounds like they're just jamming all of that in there.
It's
underwritten by Pepsi.
Yes.
Like Pepsi, they are paying to have this movie made. So can they still find some sort of way to be funny?
No.
With all of that on the screen?
You could have taken all of that out and still not had any way to be funny.
We shall see if you're able to do so.
I'm telling you, Nick Kroll did it just to be able to hang out with the basketball players.
Well, also, he probably got a paycheck. I mean, it's a movie that's got a lot of screen time on TV. I mean, during the NBA playoffs, that commercial ran every other stop set.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it probably had Kroll's face on it.
I don't know how much he got paid for it.
Yeah, well, not even paid, but just to at least get his name out there. And
I don't know if that's exactly how I want to get my name out there, is in Uncle Drew.
Well, I mean, no one's expecting this to be like, an Academy Award winning film.
No, I'm just ashamed for anyone who's going to go see it, quite frankly.
Well, I think I'm seeing it tomorrow night at the screening.
Okay, well, you're going to a screening.
Yes.
And then you'll have a review.
Yes.
You get a movie review?
Yeah. I mean, I'll review it, without a doubt.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to...
All right, what do you think he died of?
It says heart attack.
All right, so like OD?
They won't say what it was, but he was not a healthy-looking gentleman.
No, you could certainly say
so. He's a very large man, and if you've watched any of the Pantera Vulgar videos from back in the day, that guy lived hard.
And I don't think he really got, he never went through a phase where he ran a marathon or...
Right, never went through a big health kick.
Yeah, he never went, look at Vinnie Paul, wow, you look great.
Yeah, he died in his sleep this past Friday night at his home in Vegas. He was 54 years old, and it was of a major heart attack. And he's going to be meeting his brother wherever they're going, because remember his brother? That horrible.
Dimebag, yeah.
What a horrible. I mean, someone came up on stage and shot him while he was on stage. But Vinnie Paul has passed away, and it actually got me to bust out a couple of Pantera albums. Pantera is one of those bands that would kind of go back and forth from really corny to really excellent.
Yeah.
And if you go to Vulgar Display of Power, that's kind of when they were at their best. That's when the early stuff was a little corny, and then Vulgar Display of Power was excellent, and then they just said, we're smoking weed on the album after that.
Yeah.
That was,
and then Phil Anselmo went, I'm shooting heroin!
Yeah, and then he kind of went nuts and started hanging out with those New Orleans heroin metal guys, and it just kind of went off the deep end and just kind of got out of shape. But if you want to hear a pure metal album, that Vulgar Display Power album came out when the Metallica's Black album did. And if you were a pure metalhead, you were pissed off at that Black album. It was like, this is not Metallica. This sucks. And so your friends would be like, hey, we'll try this. And it was the perfect substitute if you were a metalhead for what Metallica wasn't giving you was Vulgar Display of Power. Well, so rest in peace, Vinnie Paul.
Because whenever someone dies at 54, I'm always like, oh, it's got to have been drugs, right? Because then it makes you, if nothing, if it wasn't cancer or something.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the idea that you get an aneurysm or just a random heart attack.
A lot of unbelievable stories that involve Vinnie Paul when the Dallas Stars won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, he broke it.
Did he break it? Because
yes.
I know that they were in his pool or something. Mike Modano was jumping into Vinnie Paul's pool with the Stanley Cup. This is before camera phones. How great would that have been?
I read about it in the obituary thing. Yeah, they broke it.
Oh, they did break the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, okay. they broke the Stanley Cup, and it needed to be repaired.
Yeah, Vinnie Paul was everywhere. By the way, I think the Dallas Stars goal song
is Hell Yeah.
Is Hell Yeah, which is the band that Vinnie Paul was in. And it's actually, it's so metal that it's great. Because it's so different than the and it's so over the top that it actually is pretty decent.
And their tour bus was sponsored by Jaeger.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, come on, Jaeger.
But that was, they lived hard, man. They lived hard.
They did. All right. We'll find out who some other people that live hard are doing right now. It's Zolak and Bertrand.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right.
98.5 The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Zolak not in today.
Oh,
he's gone? He's on a big anniversary. Apparently, if you follow him on Twitter, he's out there fishing, having drinks.
So who's in for him?
It's going to be Bertrand, Hardy, and a man by name of Sarge.
Nice! Oh. There you go.
All right.
Holding it down militaristic style. You know what, Sarge, almost entirely U.S. clothes.
A lot of America?
Yeah. He's got an American hat on.
Well, I'm rocking a sweatshirt today, so I can't throw stones from there.
No, I'm just saying it's part of his persona now, is Captain America.
We have Zolak to blame for this. Yeah, Sarge.
Yeah, he's decided that he is going to wear almost exclusively a military gear.
Oh, hey, salutes all around for you, Bertrand. Good for you.
Dude just loves America.
She plays as he walks in.
He's fist pumping the other room.
Hey! Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. He's the only guy when you make fun of him and he's like, yeah! You're like, no!
There's nothing more. That's not it.
There's nothing more patriotic than a non military member.
Don't stare into that.
He loves it.
It's weird.
Saluting you.
It's very strange.
Yeah. It is, right? Like,
you're not in the military.
It makes you feel awkward on the other end. You're like, what?
Did we have somebody? Oh, I know who it was. Huh? We had a woman in studio who was like a Marine, remember?
Oh, as part of the dating game.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, I give you a Sarge salute to her. And I'm like, she's like really in the military.
And she's going to be like, hey, a-hole, called stolen valor.
Yeah. you're saluting someone who's really in the military and knows how to do that salute correctly.
Sarge, I'm really not impressed by you. You might want to stop that.
You're on TV, Sarge. Don't flip the... What are you doing?
Honest
you know
God.
Nothing?
Honest to God.
Dumb.
You think that they had a camera on Sarge for real?
Yes.
They may have.
Because we were talking about him.
No, they didn't. They're not going to
show Sarge. Follow's pretty good. You never know.
He's never going to show Sarge.
Very strange. By the way, one thing I have to say, and I don't know if you've experienced this, I've never recognized more than when I'm either at the Great Wolf Lodge or one of those New Hampshire amusement parks. Like, if I'm at, like, we went to Santa Land this weekend?
Santa's Village. I am headed there next week.
You're not allowed in there.
I'm not?
No, you don't like Santa. You don't celebrate Christmas.
They're like things that go off.
There's an alarm. This man has celebrated Hanukkah.
You're acting like John Sullivan.
No, the Great Wolf Lodge.
Sir, I drove so far to get here.
He is a lapsed Jew.
I am.
Anywhere they wouldn't let him in.
I'm married a Catholic. Doesn't that matter?
They let her in. You're not allowed in.
The kids, too, hopefully, right?
Not in Santa's Village.
I'm more Jewish than John.
Damn right you are. Absolutely.
But no, it's true. It's like I've never recognized more than when I'm at one of these places where the dads are stuck with the kids to ride like rides.
Yeah.
I was at Santa's Village and all over the place. I went to Storyland last year. It was the exact same thing. And always at the Great Wolf Lodge. Always.
Yeah.
One guy wanted to take a picture and I'm standing there like with my shirt off. Like, I'm like, of course you want to take a picture of this. Of course you did.
Check out my three nipples.
I wish I had a triple nipple.
I can't believe you guys are driving all the way up there to go to Santa's Village.
We're going. Santa's Village is all right.
We're going. And what is it, 3 hours?
Kids love it.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours.
2.5 without traffic?
It's a long ride.
I'm sure no one will be headed out of town this weekend. I'm sure it'll be easy.
Kids like to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Not all of them have to be 2.5 hours away.
You see, I don't mind that because it's the one time I can just kind of sit and just talk without my kids interrupting. Like, we have like a little thing that the TV, so they watch like a movie or something on the way up.
Yep.
I don't mind the drive at all.
The DVD player and the minivan.
Don't mind it one bit.
Yes.
It's like a nice little peace and quiet. And then you go ride Rudolph's, you know, crazy coaster, and then you head on home and do it all over again.
I like the juxtaposition between Storyland and Santa's Village.
Mm-hmm.
I think Storyland is what you get when, you know, we win the big one, WWII. Santa's Village is what you get if the Germans would have won. That's what that place is like. It's like, it is very clean. We will do some learning along with the fun today. You will be on an alphabet hunt. You must find all the letters. You'll be rewarded at the end of the day.
That's right. This is what I have to look forward to?
Yeah. Santa's Village.
I've been
legit
to Storyland.
But let me tell you something. Don't screw up. Don't do it wrong, because you will get yelled at, and you will get...
What is it where you don't have to pay a royalty anymore?
What do you mean?
Fred told you shouldn't go there, Wally.
public domain?
So, like, in Storyland, everything is public domain.
I would.
They don't have to spend a dollar on it, and I would imagine Santa's Village,
is all public domain.
Sure.
St. Nicholas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's known.
Along those lines, I was told by somebody who was working the carousel or whatever, the reindeer carousel. I said, excuse me, do you know where the restroom is? They go, no. Wait, the restroom? No.
We are not allowed to divulge that information.
I was like, okay. So I had to look for myself, and I eventually found the North Bowl, which is where they keep all the toilets.
North Bowl. Yes, I see. That's
very orderly. Very orderly at Santa's Village. Yes, very clean.
Yes, it is.
Very
yes,
precise. Is.
Well, wonderful.
You guys have a whole lot of blonde time. Hair there.
Can't wait. That's great. What do you got? I got a 4 weeks vacation. How are you going to spend it? I think I'm just going to bop on over to hell.
Yep. See ya. Well, I did also
because my life means nothing. Let's just all do things that kids want to do constantly. All right. Well, you guys enjoy yourselves.
All right.
That'll do it for us. Bye.